Presenting the Cones of Dunshire. 8 to 12 players. Two wizards, a maverick, the arbiter, two warriors, a corporal, and a ledgerman. Now, the object is to accumulate cones. Four cones wins. But in order to get a cone, you have to build a civilization.
In this episode of Northwest Nerd...
I believe in it. I love Playtest Northwest as a system, as an engine. It helps people. It's great. I get more fulfillment out of like helping other people. And I think that this really grew when this started to happen in 2020. And I was already hosting in 2019. I was like, I can be helping more and helping more, you know?
Hey there. I'm pop culture journalist Dyer Oxley. And we are talking with Beau Johnson, an event host with Playtest Northwest. Now, that name somewhat is self-explanatory, but I'm going to explain it anyway. The way I explain it is that, you know, writers go to writers groups. They get feedback on their fantasy novel they're writing or critiques on their poetry, stuff like that. Comedians go to open mics. Musicians might go to jam sessions and so forth. I view Playtest Northwest as a similar type of group. We have a lot of folks around designing their own games, whether it's card games, board games, and beyond. They go to Playtest Northwest to put that game in front of other people, see what works, what doesn't, get feedback, and then others just go to play other people's indie creations, which all comes back to Beau Johnson, who organizes these gaming events for Playtest Northwest. And as you can imagine, this is very much an in-person type of scene. Folks get together to play games. So when the pandemic hit, Beau and others at Playtest had to figure out how exactly they were going to keep going through shutdowns and distancing and all of that. It was a change that they just had to do it overnight. And that's why I spoke with Beau at a previous Washington State Summer Con, where we were on the floor of the con talking about games.
I am an event host with Playtest Northwest. I run events in the Seattle area, Mox and Blue Highway, but yeah.
That's why I'm aware of you. Through people I know, the indie game creation scene, they're making their own role-playing games, they're making their own board games, they're making their own card-based games, whatever it is, they go to you, and folks can come in and test them out. They find out where they suck, where they're strong, and you know, and they tweak. How would you describe to somebody who's totally unaware of anything that you do that there is a scene going on, that indie gaming scene?
There's a lot of people will come up and be like, I'm thinking about making a game myself or something like that. Like, it's a lot of people will experience Playtest Northwest as a playtester. Like, that's kind of, a lot of people will come to these events and then, but they'll be like, ooh, I'm thinking about making a game, or I have a game, or I, you know, like, I have an idea or something like that. And so that basically turns into that. A lot of people will get a lot of, like, people that'll walk in off the street and find out about Playtest Northwest. It's really interesting. Like, we have a lot of stuff through our website. We have the Discord and everything. But the elevator pitch is, you know, you want to make a game. We want to help you play test it. And we want to help you make it better so you can take it to the next level, essentially. Like, that's the whole key of, like, Playtest Northwest.
The organization's name is Playtest Northwest. Yeah. Do you feel that there is something about this region in particular that is more potent?
I mean, there's a lot of gaming roots in Seattle. You know, the Nintendo of America is in Redmond, right? You know, like, that's going into the 80s and 90s. You had local kids that were doing, like, Hotline for the, you know, the Nintendo thing. And then the 90s, you had Wizards of the Coast.
Right.
Wizards of the Coast was coming into view. And Magic was blew up. I mean,
weren't they the first Pokemon, like, distributor or something around here? Like, they got that contract back in the day?
Yeah. That's a long story.
That's another story? Yeah, okay, all right.
You know, they did, yeah, they worked with Nintendo or vice versa, and that's how they started doing the Pokemon trading card game. I mean, Wizards had their hand in a lot of things in the area. Like, they did playing card games, but then they bought TSR early on, and then, you know, Hasbro. But ultimately, like, there's a lot of foundation for gaming in the Northwest. It's very interesting.
We just went through a few years of shutdowns here or there, social distancing. Playtest Northwest is a get-together and try-things-out type of organization, but you were still active. Things were still going on.
Yeah.
How the heck did you do that?
It was crazy, because, I mean, like, March hits, and I had just gotten done with, you know, like, we had our event in February, but there was talk and whispers and all this other stuff, and I was like, when March, and when they, you know, everybody was like, gotta work from home, the first thing that came on my mind was, like, Playtest Northwest does not have an online anything. Playtest Northwest's main focus was in-person playtesting. And I mean, like, I was super scared. And I mean, like, I did a bunch of things to help Playtest Northwest. I by no means am, like, at the time was a staff person. I hosted events in Ballard. But, I mean, I had a lot of tech stuff, and I do IT stuff in my daily life. So I was like, let's get all this set up. I was just handing over credentials for Discord servers.
Okay.
I was like, here you go. This. I was like, and they were like, I don't know about that. I was like, don't worry about it. Just hold on to it. We'll sort it out. But let's get the foundation going, because online's probably going to be the next thing.
Right.
There are resources where you can do online board games. And with how this changed playtesting, a lot of playtesting sites went up, and it had to be overnight for a lot of people, because it was sink or swim at that point.
How does that work online? If I have a game, I have a card-based game, for example, it's fictitious here, but I have a card-based game and I want to try it out with people. How does that work online?
I mean, there's a lot of different avenues. In the very beginning, there really weren't a whole lot of avenues. There was Tabletop Simulator. I think it's Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah.
It was on Steam, and that was kind of a kit to do any kind of board game and whatever. Tabletop Simulator is kind of a gray area for designers, because, I mean, there's a lot of games that are tossed up on there that are just copies, one-for-one copies of people's board games. So, like, a lot of people are very weird and dislike it. But then you started getting a lot of, like, independent websites, like screentop.gg is a new one that came up that was local. I don't know if they're local to Seattle, but I mean, like, it was a lot of indie designers starting doing stuff there.
Wow.
I mean, like, it really started to grow online. And I mean, like, you can do now a fairly simple Google search, and you can get a lot of, like, online tabletop or card engines that you can do stuff just over the website now.
Okay. And that existed before in the before times.
It just didn't as much.
Okay, because that was my main question: is did pandemic shutdowns spur something that changed? And this is not a pun intended at all. Changed the game of indie game making. All these online game engines, you think, just exploded?
I mean, it. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that, like I said, Tabletop Simulator was one of the major ones in town, and I mean, there were a lot of people that had feelings one way or another, and they were like, you know what, we'll make our own, we'll make an independent one. You have, like, Board Game Arena, you have Tabletopia. There's all sorts that just, like, grew out of, like, that first year or 2 years. They were just like, we need to have an alternative where it's, like, online gaming and ways that people can upload photos of their cards, and now they can make a digital deck, and now you can play your digital card game. Like, there's a lot of options now, but it back in those days, it was like, it was hard. A lot of people were just pointing cameras at tables and stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
But the evolution has happened, and now it's here. So now folks can go online, use one of these services, make an indie game for themselves, whereas before they weren't, and they were getting back together. Moving forward, do you feel that this has changed things? I mean, the get-togethers are still going to happen, but now it's almost like this other layer.
Even in any case, because, like, I'm back to doing in-person playtesting.
Yeah.
But there is still online playtesting. We run through Playtest's Discord, so Playtest Northwest Discord. We do a lot of that. There's still online gaming and that sort of thing. Back in 2019, we had a game, my wife and I, And we were shopping it around. And when we sent the rule book and the sell sheet to the publisher, they were super into it. And I was like, okay, we're going to send you the box. And the guy was like, don't. And I go, well, how do we do this? How are you going to play the game? And he goes, upload it into Tabletop Simulator. This was in 2019.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the beads of sweat that started to form, because like I was just like, oh my god, what do I do, right?
Yeah.
And even, and so the thing was, is that I was fortunate enough in 2019 to already have leapt into making a one-for-one copy of my game digitally. So when that hit in 2020, I was like, I was doing stuff on Twitch. I was like, this is how you guys do this. Like, we had a Twitch, and I was like, you don't lose the community. The community, there's got to be something you can watch. It's something you can do, like something you can spend time with and know that there's people out there still working on games and all this other stuff. We wanted that community to be like, hey, we're still here and we're still together. Like, that, I believe in it. I love Playtest Northwest as a system, as an engine. It helps people. And yeah. I mean, like, it's great. I get more fulfillment out of like helping other people, and I think that this really grew when this started to happen in 2020, and I was already hosting in 2019. I was like, I can be helping more and helping more, you know. A lot of stuff when that started to kind of build, you could see it on a global guide, because there's a website called Cardboard Edison. And they do online, like, they have, like, a big database of where you could do online playtesting. We were, like, the seventh in the world on that website. I mean, now that list is bonkers long. But it's, like, at the time, it was, like, we were getting people jumping in the server and being, like, what time do you guys do your playtesting? We're, like, we do it at Greenwich Mean Time, -8.
Yeah.
Like, that changed so many things. It wasn't just Playtest Northwest. It was, we were interviewing, like, we would do Twitch streams and talk to designers that were in, like, Colombia. We were doing it all over the place. It changed a lot of things, and it globally changed how people can kind of get into it and playtest.
It's never going to be the same now. It's like this new branch of it. Where do you see the future of indie game creation heading at this point?
It's interesting because there's options, right? Before 2019, you had to have a physical game. There was no really focus on online stuff. And now that is an option. Now people have that. And I think it's wonderful because you get pros out of it either way you do it. The physical playtesting, you get to see more and more. Like, you get to see the people. That's where people get a lot of, like, seeing the person across the table. You get a lot from that.
Hearing
right?
them swear.
Yeah.
Seeing them throw your deck of cards across the room.
I mean, like, it gives you a good insight of your game.
Yeah.
But in the digital aspect, if you have a typo, it'll be changed in 5 seconds. If you have a typo on a physical game, you'll probably print it next month. Right?
Okay.
You know, like,
yeah.
You'll print it in the next revision or the next balance or whatever. Like, digital is going to be snappier for, like, your cards being, like, it's now. Like, and there's people that have started up their own personal Discord servers just for their own games. Like, this is, I don't think that digital is ever going to go away, nor should it. We do a physical playtest. You got 4 hours on a Saturday in Ballard. You got to get out there. Some people don't want to make the drive. If you get somebody on your Discord, you could be somebody in Wisconsin and be like, hey, I'm free to play test your game. Let's throw it up on Screentop GG or Tabletop Simulator or Tabletop whatever. Let's get it going and we'll do the play test there. I think it's only going to grow, and I think it's only just going to make the possibilities of what can be done in a game better, right? I've done things on the digital side where you make your dreams come true. When you have, like, a big weird idea for a board, like, say you want to drop your dice through a big tower or something, I can't construct that physically, but I can make that digitally, and it was crazy. But, you know, ultimately that game didn't amount to anything physically because I couldn't really do it physically. I just see that digital will not go away. I see digital is only going to get stronger. But in person is still just as strong. Like, seeing those people, seeing the reactions, doing blind playtesting, you do it in person. That's, like, the best way that you're going to be watching these things happen. When we did our event at Vernon Wells, it was physical. And that was a blind playtest. And people could see, like, you could see what was going on. You could see the frustration and the rules being like, oh, well, I don't understand. Somebody would give a weird face. You'd see the game designer start writing immediately. You couldn't get that in digital.
Thank you, Bo Johnson, for talking about Playtest Northwest. If this sounds like your kind of scene, head over to playtestnorthwest.com. That's playtestnw.com. You can see when and where they're getting together around here. That's going to do it for this episode of Northwest Nerd, the Northwest Pop Culture Podcast. Our theme music is by the Hoot Hoots. I'm pop culture journalist Dyer Oxley. Game on.
Then you roll 3 dice to see how many dice you roll with. Oh, 16. Perfect. Lots of choices. Are the cones a metaphor? Well, yes and no. Oh my God. The Maverick should be able to trade lumber for agriculture credits. How have I not thought of this before?